John chapter 10. Reading verse 1 through 7, which was our text last Sunday. And we will lift off from again today. And we'll continue to look at some things in John chapter 10 this morning and this evening, as the Lord allows us. This is a continuation of John chapter 9. Jesus had performed a miracle through which the Pharisees and the leaders of the people took great issue with. And they were constantly trying to get somebody to hold accountable for this. And they were arguing and debating and accusing, and they were arguing and debating and accusing even Jesus Christ. Oh, what right he had to do what he did. And it's from this healing and their being offended by it that bleeds into chapter 10, and there is no break between chapter 9 and chapter 10. And in our verses this morning, verse 1 through 7, he speaks about the good shepherd. And as we saw last week, I'll repeat again at the beginning of this morning's message, he is speaking of himself. As he spoke about the good shepherd, the right shepherd, the correct shepherd, and how that the Pharisees and the rulers of the people were not shepherds, good shepherds, or any kind of shepherd at all, but he was the good shepherd. We learn much about our Lord and Savior as the shepherd, as the good shepherd. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, of a truth, for sure, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. It wasn't by my design or intentional design to spend 3 weeks, three messages with this thought, but it is what the Lord has led us to and directed us to. For those who like titles or need titles, I'll give you three titles. Last Sunday morning, we would have entitled our thought, The Good Shepherd, because we were considering Jesus as the Good Shepherd. This morning, we would title our thoughts, The Shepherd's Sheep. The Shepherd's Sheep. And then, Lord willing, in his bringing us together and letting us preach tonight, we would title it The Shepherd's Security. The Shepherd's Security. In last week's message and our look at John chapter 10, Jesus declared he was the door. In verse number 7, I am the door of the sheep. The sheepfold was an enclosed place where sheep were taken, multiple flocks of sheep were taken for safekeeping through the night. As I understand it, there was only one door. There was only one way to get in and out. Brother Warren was telling me that he's studied shepherds and sheep and sheepfolds, and he was telling me that door had to be very narrow. And I thought, well, that makes sense. Because you don't want anybody to get in and out that doesn't have any right to get in and out. The porter had to watch that place and only let true shepherds in, not let the sheep escape or get out when they shouldn't. Jesus Christ speaks about the door of the sheepfold, which we see in this text as being Israel, or the people of Israel, or those Jews that were believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus declares in that seventh verse that he's that door, meaning he is the way to go in and out. There is no other way. As we apply that to salvation, John chapter 14, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. No one. There's only one door. Jesus is the door. And you don't get in and you don't get out any other way but by Christ. He's the door. He came to call his sheep out. The shepherd would go into the door, into the sheepfold, call his sheep, identify his sheep, then will go out before them and they would follow him out. We talk about how dumb sheep are, but when you really consider it, I think they're pretty smart. Some of the things that sheep do and how they respond to the shepherd and how they know the shepherd's voice and what they teach us who claim to be the sheep of God, sheep of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only way. In verse number 2, he speaks about the shepherd, referring, I believe, ultimately again to himself. He's the door, he's the shepherd. He came to lead his sheep. Came to lead his sheep. But then in verse number 11 and verse number 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I came to give my life. That's why I am the good shepherd. I came to give my life, and I came to give life. That's why I'm the good shepherd. There was a man I was watching, listening to, and he was describing the difference between teaching and preaching. He said, teaching is the communicating of information. Preaching is, did you catch that? Teaching is the communicating of information. Preaching is something else. Preaching has a to it. As I come to the last sermons that I may ever preach in Wauseon, Ohio, I didn't want to come here with a teaching type message. I wanted to come and let my last messages be one that has some oomph to it. I want you to understand, whoever you are, as you sit on the pews of this congregation in this sanctuary, I want you to understand that all are sinners, all are dead, all need a Savior, all need a shepherd. And if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to spend eternity in a place called hell. No apologies for telling you that. Amen. Jesus preached and Jesus taught about hell. Last time I checked, Jesus had more to say about hell than anybody else in the Bible. Far more than Paul ever dealt with the subject. I want you to understand that all are sinners and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. I want you to understand that there's only one way of salvation, and that way is Jesus Christ. You need to come through the door. And I don't know what I might be able to do, how much oomph I can come up with. But I pray that you'll leave here having gotten something from the point. Jesus Christ came to be the door. He is the door. And you need to come to Christ. You need to come to God by Christ. Oh, I don't need to be saved. I'm religious. I don't need to be saved. I go to church every once in a while. I don't need to be saved. I know this and I know that. Everybody needs to be saved. Amen. All means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all, and the wages of sin is death. Jesus is the way. He's the door. No man, nobody comes to the Father but through the door, Jesus Christ. He came to lead his sheep. He came to walk before them and so that they might follow him. You need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to follow Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. We've already touched on it. Why is he called the good shepherd? He tells us in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Why does he give his life for the sheep? He gives his life for the sheep that the sheep might live. That's why he's the good shepherd. He is going to die. He did die. And he died that man might live. And he died that he might raise himself up again, giving those who are his sheep eternal life and the hope of eternal life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am, verse 14, the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I am known of mine. I know Jesus is the good shepherd. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so now know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I said as respectfully as I could, hopefully not without understanding or without misunderstanding. Here you've come to church. For whatever reason, you've come and you sat on the pew. Maybe it's because you occasionally do that, or maybe because somebody's watching you or somebody's concerned or somebody's pestering you. But as you've come to church this morning, for whatever reason, you're hearing about Jesus Christ. And what I said last week, I've said before, now you've got to do something about Jesus. As respectfully as I can, without explaining all my thoughts and applications, here you sat hearing about Jesus Christ, the door, the shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd. You have to do something now with Jesus. Are you going to turn away? Are you going to reject him? Are you going to say, maybe another day? Are you going to come up with some flimsy excuse? Are you going to go out of the door of this place just as you came in and face an eternity dying without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is that what you're willing to do with Jesus? Or will you come through the door? Or will you follow the shepherd? Will you let the good shepherd who gave his life that you might live? Will you let the good shepherd give you life? Will you believe he gave his life for you? The door, the shepherd, the good shepherd, that's Jesus. In this passage of Scripture, pretty much through the seven verses of our text, we find the sheep identified. The sheep identified. Verse number 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep identified. Sheep are identified by hearing the voice of the shepherd. If you've never heard the voice of Jesus Christ, if you've never heard him as your Lord and Savior, then you're not a sheep. If you're a sheep at all, if you've never received Christ, never heard him, then you're a lost sheep. There's a distinguishment in Scripture. There's saved sheep and there's lost sheep. Then there's goats. And the goats are those that never will be saved. But the saved sheep are the ones the Lord has saved. The lost sheep are those that are given to Christ who will eventually be saved. Distinctions, distinctments. If you never heard the voice of Jesus Christ, then you're not a saved sheep. You may be a lost sheep. You may be just an old goat. But again, it depends on what you do with Jesus. Verse number 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, a shepherd would go into the sheepfold. However many would fit, there might be multiple flocks in that sheepfold. And the shepherd would come and be identified, and the porter would let him come in, and he would go in, and he would call from all the sheep that are there, he would call his sheep, identify his sheep. He knows his sheep by name. However many there are, he knew their names. Then he'd call them and he'd go out before them, and his sheep, not all the sheep that were there, but those of his flock would follow him. He goes before them, and the sheep are identified because they follow him. They follow him. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. You don't crack a whip. You don't jump a horse and play a little. Just forgot the name of the Long Ranger. That's what I was talking about. You don't crack a whip and you don't jump on a white horse and drive sheep like you're the Long Ranger. A shepherd goes out before the sheep, and the sheep know him, and he knows the sheep, and the sheep follow him. That's why I don't see sheep as all that dumb. I think that's pretty impressive, that a sheep knows what a shepherd looks like, what a shepherd sounds like. And he can say whatever he's got to say, whatever magical words that have to be spoken, and go out in front of him, and his sheep follow. That's an identifying mark of sheep. Verse 4, the next part of that verse, they know his voice. They know his voice. They hear his voice, so they have the ability to hear. That speaks about, I believe, salvation and the quickening and being made alive to Christ. Spiritual applications. The shepherd goes before his sheep. The sheep follow him. They don't have to be driven. They willingly follow him. And they not only hear his voice, they know his voice. That's impressive. That's impressive. Verse number 5 tells us the sheep, the true sheep, will not follow a stranger. Make application there to those who say they're saved, to those who say they're sheep, who will follow just anybody who comes along with anything they offer. To those who say they're saved, to those who say they're sheep, who can be led astray with the slightest temptation. They're not evidencing themselves as sheep. A sheep will not follow a stranger. Verse 5 also tells us the sheep, the true sheep, the sheep flees from the stranger. They know their shepherd's voice. They know the voice of a stranger, and they will not follow a stranger. And they have enough instinct and enough of whatever that they flee. They flee. Now, we don't think about sheep running. We don't think much about sheep fleeing. But here we're told that sheep flee. When a stranger comes and says, "Follow me, you lice of the lambs." The sheep know to say no. They flee from a stranger. They do not recognize the voice of a stranger. They know the voice of the shepherd. They hear the voice of the shepherd. They follow the shepherd. But they will not follow a stranger. They flee from the strangers. And when the stranger speaks, this does not compute. Just like a robot. This does not compute. You're not my shepherd. See, these are identifying marks of a sheep. They hear the voice of Jesus. They follow Jesus. They know the voice of Jesus. They will not follow a stranger. They flee from the stranger. They do not recognize, they cannot recognize a stranger's voice. Here's where sheep are identified. Jesus said in verse number 27, just part of the verse, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. He came to give his life for the sheep. He came that they might have life. Did he come to give you life? Did he come to die that you might have life? The only way you can know that is if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul. There's no other way. There's no other litmus test. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. They won't follow a false shepherd. They won't follow a false religion or a false way. They won't follow a hireling because they know, even they know, a hireling doesn't care for them at all. Amen. There's a lot of religious hirelings. Amen. A lot of people offering and a lot of people making deals. Come to our church. Believe this, believe that. We'll bless you and you'll have your best life now. And oh, everything's going to be so wonderful. The hireling doesn't care for the sheep. First trouble that arises, the hireling's gone. I'm out of here. The shepherd will give his life. And those that represent the shepherd in the ministry of the Lord's church, they will give their life for the sheep. The good shepherd is Jesus Christ. The shepherd's sheep are those that hear his voice, follow him, know his voice, will not follow a stranger, will flee from the stranger, and does not recognize the voice of a stranger or hireling. Do you know the shepherd? Is the shepherd your shepherd? Are you a sheep? Are you saved? Every time I go to that church, that preacher's trying to get me saved. I'm not trying to get anybody saved. It's not my business. No true preacher of the gospel, no true Baptist pastor is trying to get people saved, trying to talk people into anything. But it is our obligation to preach Jesus at every occasion possible. And it is our responsibility as men of God to call you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is while you're here, it is while we have opportunity that we must cry out, be saved, oh, today. Don't leave here one more time lost in your sins. Don't let us have to hear about something in the news or something on television that happened to you and all opportunity is gone. Be saved today. Identify yourself as one of his sheep. More specifically, identify yourself as a saved sheep. By being saved, and you know what song I always think about, why not tonight? Let's say, okay, it's not tonight. That's okay. There's many times on Sunday morning I'm saying things in reference to the night. Sometimes, I think it was Wednesday night, I said to two or three people, good to see you tonight. I mean this morning. It's Wednesday night, brother. You just said this morning, oh, well. Be saved, oh, tonight. Well, let's make it applicable. Be saved, oh, this morning. Why not now? Let's stand together, have a verse of song. Close our services for the morning until tonight. God speaks to anybody about any matter you need to come before this assembly. You come. If you're here.